Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Tuesday, January 25th. I'm Ray Graff. During winter in the great Northeast, hiking is not always the first thing on one's mind, unless you're assistant news director Jim Lavoulis. However, spring is surely on the way. It's got to be, right? Our guest today is Alicia Philly, a health and fitness writer, physical therapist, and founder of The Healthy Hiker. She's with us to get ready to hit the trail this spring, so even for an hour, let's think warm. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. The number again, though, 800-348-2551. Alicia Philly and your hiking and fitness calls coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today, we'll talk about how you can stay in shape and get ready for spring hiking. Our guest today says winter is the perfect time to build strength and deal with any aches or pains that plagued you last season. Alicia Philly is an internationally published health and fitness writer and founder of The Healthy Hiker, a program that helps hikers regain their health so they can feel confident on the trail, stop worrying about being left behind. As a licensed physical therapist for 30 years, Alicia specializes in the treatment of runners and endurance athletes. She's an avid hiker and runner and is passionate about sharing her love for the great outdoors. So let's share the love, shall we? Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Alicia Philly, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ray. Thanks so much for having me.
It has been a long time coming getting you on this program, and you're way out west. So how's the weather out there?
Well, it's fairly balmy, I think anyone in your listening area would say. So we're real happy about that.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit. Before we get into the topic at hand, let's talk a little bit about your story, how you ended up with this really terrific program and this Healthy Hiker website. What led you to this? You've got to be passionate about it.
I am. I've always been an avid hiker and a physical therapist, and I always had this idea that people could, there really were no limits. People could do whatever they set their mind to do with the right help and with the right training. And as I started to talk with some of my friends who were getting, over the age of 40, a lot of people start to think, well, you know, my time has passed and I'm never going to be able to do that dream thing that I've always wanted to do, whether that's hike Machu Picchu or Kilimanjaro or do the Camino in Spain or maybe hike to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. You know, all of these things that we dream of as we're, when we're young. When we get older, we start to think, well, our bodies don't, they just can't, they can't hack it anymore, right? I don't have the ability to do those things I once dreamed of. But that's simply not the case. It's not true. With the right training, with the right nutrition, with the right mindset, you absolutely can still achieve those goals. And I just had the right background to help people do that, and I love doing it.
How much hiking do you do a year?
A lot. As much as I can, really, is the answer to that. As much as I can. I am not an extensive backpacker. I'm more of a day hiker, so I have, you know, I'm hiking any chance I get. My home is in Texas, but I also spend a good part of the year in Utah. So both of those are very different climates, very different kinds of topography, but I can hike and find a trail to love anywhere I am.
I got to say, the pictures of Utah are amazing, and your website has plenty of interesting information and great pictures, and we link to it from our page here, the Vox Pop page at WAMC. So if anybody's interested, hit that link and go to Alicia's website. It's pretty cool. One of the things on your website, before we get to the calls, that I found amusing was this quote. I developed the Healthy Hiker program because I saw people spend time and money preparing for their life's crowning adventure only to be miserable on the trail or have to quit because they didn't prepare their bodies. And I said, boy, you've got me in a nutshell.
Yeah, the tech is sexy, right? All the equipment, super sexy. All, you know, you can have these great conversations about the lightest, the most expensive, the most cutting edge. And people spend so much time researching. They watch all of the blogs. They read all of the consumer reports. All the product reviews, hours and hours on product reviews. So much time picking out their equipment and so little time preparing. And you, let me tell you, one bad blister can take you off a trail like that, like just instantly. So you really have to prepare your body and put in just as much, if not more, time into preparing that piece of equipment as you do getting the right shoes, the right poles, the right backpack, the right sleeping system, the right tent, all of that.
We're joined today by Alicia Philly, and we are talking hiking and physical fitness, getting ready for that spring season. Unless, as I say, you are like our assistant news director, Jim Lavoulis, and he's out on all the peaks of the Adirondacks almost all the time. Doesn't matter how cold it is, this guy just goes out there and does it. And Alicia, I feel that you perhaps do the same thing.
Well, I do like to snowshoe. I do like to winter hike. I don't get into the ice climbing or any of that. That's just beyond my skill set and just not something, you know, I'm originally a Texas girl. So being in the depths of a freeze and surrounded by ice isn't just something that I love doing. So kudos to him. It's fabulous. There's nothing better than the crunch, crunch, crunch of the snow beneath your feet as you go over the peak of a mountain. So it's fabulous.
Well, when we were talking about things to discuss on this show, one of the things you wanted to hit, and we'll do this before we go to the phones, and the number is, by the way, 800-348-2551. You wanted to talk about your approach to setting up a plan for being fit over the winter, and you have an actual three-part plan.
That's right. That's right. Before people want to spend all of their time, you know, thinking about what they want to do, but I really invite them to spend those cozy hours by the fire during the winter, not just looking at all of the places they want to go and do when spring thaws, but also taking a minute to look back. So the first step is to review the season before, review any hiking that you did during the previous season, previous spring, summer, fall. Think about if you don't keep a log or a journal or a spreadsheet, some people get real technical about it and keep a spreadsheet with mileage and all of that, you know, either anywhere along that spectrum is fine. But if you don't keep a record of your hiking, then I invite you to go back and look at your pictures, because oftentimes our pictures will jog our memory of a particular experience. And I want your listeners to think about if they had any difficulties during last season during their hiking. Did they experience any knee pain, any hip pain? Were there times when they were really tired and didn't have enough energy to finish a hike? Maybe they couldn't keep up with their hiking buddies like they wanted to. They were really lagging behind. Or maybe it was taking them more time to recover, like they were really wiped out the following day and that was unusual for them. Or maybe they noticed it's taking longer and longer to recover from a big hike. Also think about problems with equipment. You know, we get towards the end of a season and we just end up making do, but that's not a good way to start a season. So maybe were your shoes rubbing, or do you feel like they were getting worn out, or is your backpack kind of, you know, strung together with some duct tape and a prayer and it needs to be rehabbed, or you need some new equipment there, new poles, or is your water filter still working, you know, going through your backpack and making sure all of your equipment is still in good shape. And then also another thing to think about is, did they have a fall? Because a lot of times we'll have forgotten, like, oh, I did notice I fell a couple times last year. Is that something that I need to address coming up? So definitely taking a few minutes to review the season past, maybe the previous couple of seasons, and think about your performance and how you were on the trail, how you felt, and how you felt after your hiking.
Alicia Philly joins us today. It's hiking and preparing physically to get ready to hike anyway. You're a physical therapist. You have been for a long time. What's the most common injury that you see from those like you who are crazy enough to go out there for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles?
The thing I hear the most often from hikers is they have knee pain, and they have knee pain when they're going downhill. Everyone thinks that all of the difficulty is going to be going uphill, and while going uphill is challenging in its own way, the thing that really gets people sidelined is going downhill and having knee pain when they go downhill. So that's the number one thing that I hear from hikers.
why going downhill is worse than going uphill.
Because when you're going downhill, it requires your muscles to work in a particular way. It requires them to work eccentrically. So there's different kinds of muscle contractions. If you think about isometric, that's as if you're trying to, you know, you're doing the Atlas thing, you're pushing against the stone or trying to hold something up and it's not moving and you're not moving. That's an isometric contraction. Then a concentric contraction is the Popeye muscle, right? You're making the big bicep bulge. That's a concentric contraction. An eccentric contraction is what happens when your muscle has to be strong while it's getting longer. It's not shortening. And when you're going downhill, your quadriceps have to be strong, getting longer as you step down further and further each time. So that's one reason that people experience joint pain when they're going downhill, is because they haven't trained their muscles to work in that fashion. Another reason is that they haven't trained their muscles for endurance, so they're already tired and fatigued. They've already climbed up this great big mountain. Now they have to get down, and the muscles are saying, hey, you know what? We're out. We're done.
So what do you do?
You're on your own. You're on your own skeleton. And so then the skeleton, the actual joints, have to really do more of their share because the muscles aren't doing the work they're supposed to do.
Interesting. You know, I was fascinated by this business of going downhill being more difficult, because when I go downstairs to the fridge, I find that the joints in my knee, they're killing me all the time. Maybe you can help me with that. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll go to the phones. 800-348-2551. Hiking and fitness today with Alicia Philly. Your call's coming up. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. 800-348-2551, the number. Alicia Philly joins us today, and I told you I'd try to say your name properly. It's spelled like Alicia, but I said I would do it, and so far it's Alicia, and that's the way you do it, right?
You're doing awesome.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah, the show is, there's a long way to go. So, you know, before we go to the phones, and Devin and Coleraine, you'll be first in just one moment. You know, it occurs to me that you are very good at this. Those who have not had a season to review last year and they're just starting may want to set their sights in a more realistic way. In other words, you can set yourself up by failure by going too big too soon, yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you want to make sure that you're training for whatever trail you want to do. So if you want to do something local, there's not a whole lot of elevation change, perhaps it's only a mile or two, try walking a mile or two, you know, around your neighborhood, around a local park, see how you do, see how you feel, and then take it to the trail and see how you do there. And then you can slowly build up from there.
Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. Alicia Philly joins us today. Devin, you're first. Go ahead.
Hi, Alicia. My name is Devin. I have a concern. This seems to be the year that I'm getting old, and I've had multiple knee issues. It just really swelled up, and my doctor kind of diagnosed it as I was really on my knees playing with my kids more than I normally am, and I think I kind of, I don't know if it was bursitis or not, it really inflamed. And then about 2 weeks ago, That healed that injury. About 2 weeks ago, I was playing basketball just by myself, and it started to kind of be sore in my knee, and it didn't feel like any other pain or anything that I felt before. And it got bad enough where I was like, okay, I'll go home. And then by the time I went home and that evening came around, I was really limping around the next morning, like really limping, and then it kind of got better, but the pain has changed. It has been more swelling around my knee again, and in the morning specifically, it's like I'm breaking it in. It will just pop every step. I'll feel a pop, pop, pop. And I went back and forth with my doctor, and he said, you know, it sounds like a hamstring pull. So it seems to have changed from like the hamstring to the joint itself. And okay. I'm concerned before I make any more steps or ask anyone else where I'm at.
Alicia, did you catch any of that? Devin, your connection's not that great. I think you must be on speakerphone, but we'll go with it.
Yeah.
if you heard him.
Sure, I sure did. Hey, Devin. Well, welcome to the world of the aging gracefully. I hear you. Those knees can get creaky and bothersome as we age, and it sounds like your doctor was right on with the bursitis diagnosis. That can happen when we're on our knees in that position. A lot of times we can irritate those bursa. And as far as what happened when you were playing basketball, if you've had your doctor clear it and he doesn't think that there's any major issue, what I would recommend for you is to try to find a sports physical therapist to see and have them take a look at it. Because if it's a hamstring pull, they can certainly set you up with some rehab exercises to address that specifically. And if there's something else going on in the joint, they may be able to take a little bit more time with you and try to tease out what exactly is going on. But you definitely want to have that looked at so you're not limping around all the time. Sounds like you're a pretty active guy and you want to maintain that active lifestyle.
Devin, thanks a lot for the call. Alicia Philly joins us today. Another email came in regarding knees and knee pain, and this one is from somebody with the initial D, not Devin, presumably. In my 20s, about 8 years ago, I hurt my knee, dislocated my patella. Whenever I go hiking with any weight on my back knees, they get very weak and a lot of pain. My knees have always made grinding and cracking noises when I bend them, but now I can't do any multi-day hikes. Is there anything you can think of that might help this?
Absolutely. So the patella and the patellar tendon is really often the source of knee pain in hikers. And because of what we talked about previously about the quadricep not doing its job, about the other muscles not doing its job to support the joint, what happens is when you step down, and this is probably the same thing that happens to you when you go downstairs to get that midnight snack, Ray,
yeah,
is that all of the weight gets borne on that patellar tendon and it gets really irritated. So what I would recommend for D is to start strengthening that knee and yeah, that leg and the hips, the pelvic girdle, the whole structure. My guess is that there's a whole lot of weakness all around, and that is what is making the knee be so irritated. You've got to really strengthen the quadriceps, the hamstrings, the glutes, the glute medius, all the whole from the waist down, and then even your core, so that you've got much more stability and you're not really relying on the ligaments and the skeletal structures to hold you up when you're hiking. So that's my recommendation, D, is you got to start getting stronger.
We're joined today by Alicia Philly, who is the founder of The Healthy Hiker and an internationally published health and fitness writer. Our number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You in Texas now? You're in Utah?
I'm in Texas now, yes.
I tell you what, we've had a cold snap. Today's kind of warm. It's about 30. But we have had sub-zero temperatures here. And I would defy Alicia Philly to go on a three-mile hike in that weather. All right, let's
go. Listen, I do have clients in your part of the country, and they are all hunkering down.
Yeah.
Right now, I get these messages on the daily, like, not going outside. My eyeballs are going to freeze.
Indeed. Let's go to Melissa in Pittsfield. Melissa, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
So I took you off speaker so you can hear me better. I have a little background first. I am scheduled to see a physical therapist next week. I have had Lyme's disease for the past 2 years, to the point where my optic nerves were affected. I'm not able to work right now, but I have severe neuropathy in my hands and feet. My son is extremely active. He likes to hike and go up hills and down hills, and I'm not really able to do that right now. So I'm just wondering, like, what I can do with as far as diet and exercise to, you know, help with that neuropathy and maybe make it so I can do a little more physical activity with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Sorry to hear that you've been struggling with Lyme's disease. I know that can be quite debilitating, but I'm really glad to hear that you have an appointment with a physical therapist, because they're going to really be able to guide you and guide you appropriately and make sure that you don't do too much and get over fatigued. That's something you really fight with Lyme's disease, you know, just trying to find that fine line between doing enough to be challenging and strengthening and make progress, but doing too much to set you back because you've now become too tired and fatigued. So, it's good that you're going to get some professional help with that. And the neuropathy is tricky. And one of the things that I would really be concerned about with the neuropathy in your feet is your balance. And especially if you are climbing hills, if you're on trails, even if you're not doing a whole lot of elevation trails, you know, trails can inherently require you to have really good balance because there's rocks and sticks and roots and mud and sand and all kinds of different surfaces that you're walking on. So I would address that with your PT and just make sure that balance training is part of your regimen, something that they can help you work in, because that's going to be really important keeping up with your guy.
Yeah, I do have problems with the balance, especially like if I close my eyes. I forgot what the word is for it, but like not knowing where your body is in space, whatever. Like
right,
almost
proprioception.
Like,
there
you go. So yeah, I do have a problem with that, but I'm glad to hear that they'll be able to help with that. And you know, I do take medication for it as well, but medication can only go so far. So
yeah, well, good luck.
Yeah, and of course,
ahead, Alicia.
Exactly. Follow your recommendations from your doctor, but I know you did ask about nutrition, so you may want to make sure that you're on an anti-inflammatory diet, just anything that you can do to help keep those nerves calm.
Awesome. Okay, I have heard of that before. I will look that up again. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
You're so welcome.
You know, let's get on nutrition for a minute, and we'll get back to the phones. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Not necessarily exactly in your wheelhouse, but if you're a hiker, you obviously know your way around nutrition. How do you prepare yourself for a long hike the day before? You carb up?
You can carb up, but really what's more important, Ray, is your overall, you know, your habits over time. So I really teach my clients to look at food as fuel. And most people look at food as either good or bad, but it can all be just good because it's all fuel. And so how are you going to use that fuel to do what it is you want to do? So are you fueling yourself well enough during your training so that you can build muscle, so that you can build endurance? A lot of times hikers come to me and say, gosh, I'm so tired. I don't have energy for my hiking anymore. And I'm just feeling run down. And we start to look at how much they're eating and they're not taking in nearly enough calories. So, you know, making sure that you're taking enough calories in is the first global umbrella thing that you need to do. And then after that, you can start to look at the macronutrients, which you mentioned, carbohydrates, protein, and fats, and making sure that you're going to have enough fuel with you on the trail. So definitely you need those carbohydrates for energy. When you're on the trail, you can certainly, depending on how far you're going, you can have some extra carbohydrates the day before. If you are doing like a marathon, you know, if you think of it like a marathon, if you were going to do a marathon distance, which would be basically like a rim to rim inside the Grand Canyon, then you definitely want to make sure that you're fueling just like a runner would fuel. You're taking in enough carbohydrates and calories and fat to keep you sustained throughout that time so that you're endurance doesn't lag.
Alicia Philly joins us today. We talk healthy hiking. 800-348-2551. The number, email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And we'll get back to the email bag in a little bit. Bill is in Cohoes. Bill, you're on.
Hey, thanks very much. Already got some great advice here.
Good.
Ray, you'd probably know Plotterkill a little better than our guest would if she's in Utah and Texas. But that's the place where I do all my hiking, and I hike about an hour to an hour and a half, 2 to 3 times a week in decent weather. And my question is, I seem to do very well at the beginning and all through my hike, but I end up with a lot of pain from basically every joint, tendon, and muscle group in my body from, I would say, my hips down. And I notice it even when getting out of the car, 20-minute ride back home. You know, I can barely get myself out of the car, and I'm wondering maybe I'm doing something wrong or not winding down the right way, something like that. If you could give some advice, I'd love it.
Sure, Bill. Well, I'm glad you're getting out there and staying active and healthy and getting on the trail. That's the best, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're having pain towards the end of your hikes, and then just during your recovery. And so are you? If you stop, okay.
So don't stop.
Are you doing any Yeah, there you go. Just keep on. Just Forrest Gump all the way through
That's
the Adirondacks.
Right.
What are you doing after your hike? Are you doing anything to cool down any post-hike stretches or flexibility?
No, I'm really not, and I'm not that into stretching. I try to do a bit of stretching while I hike. But no, you're right. After the hike, I don't really know much what to do afterwards. I do a little bit of hiking, okay. But a lot of my muscle groups are very tight. So.
Yeah, I would suspect so. So here's what I would recommend. Before you start your hike, I would recommend that you do what's called a dynamic warm-up or a dynamic stretching routine. And that is what, I don't know how old you are, but back in school, we used to just do those static stretches before we did anything, right? You would just like reach and hold and hold and hold and hold and force before you ran around the track. Well, research has shown that it's much better to do what's called a dynamic warm-up, where you're activating one muscle to lengthen the opposing muscle. So what that would look like would be marching in place and squeezing your knee up to your shoulder. So as you're pulling up your hip flexor and you're activating your hip flexor and squeezing that to your shoulder, what you're doing is actually stretching the back of your leg, the glutes and the hamstrings. So that's you can look up dynamic warm-up. I think I have, if you were to go to my website, thehealthyhiker.com, and look under my blogs and search for dynamic warm-up, I think I've got some information there for you. But I would do a dynamic warm-up before you get started. Then at the end, you can do some of those static stretches. And it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out thing, and you don't have to become a yoga pretzel to do it. I'm talking about 5 minutes of just, reaching down, touching your toes, making sure you're stretching out your calves, making sure you're stretching out your quads. So, bending your knee back and holding your foot behind your hip and just stretching out the front of your legs, doing some static stretching then. And then you might want to consider that you incorporate, since you're only your hiking is 2 to 3 days a week, maybe on the off days, you might want to consider doing an activity that would improve your flexibility and help out with some of that joint range of motion, help you not be so tight. So it could be yoga or Pilates, or it could be something like swimming, or it could be, dancing. I don't know. Maybe you like to dance. Just another kind of activity that would get your body moving in a different way.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, it does take somebody firing a pistol at me to get me to dance, but thanks for those advice.
Hey, Bill, let me ask you a question. Last week was ridiculously cold. Please, did you go hiking at all last week?
I didn't, but that's more because I moved to Cohoes. I'm no longer as close to the hiking place as I used to be.
So you mean you would have done it in sub-zero weather?
All the time, yep.
Okay.
I love it.
All right, now I've lost the thread.
Especially Bill, when the river's frozen.
Bill, thanks a lot for the call. Good luck, my friend. The number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Alicia Philly joins us today. Healthy Hiking on the show. We'll be back. Count Basie out of the orchestra here on our bumper music. Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. Alicia Philly joins us, and we talk healthy hiking today. And before we get to the email bag and back to the phones, I was looking at your blog on your website, and there's some I didn't go too deep, but I looked at the subject headings, and I have to ask you about a couple of these things. But we'll start with the one that's germane to our topic today, 10 Winter Hiking Essentials. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you need to make sure that you consider when you go hiking, because while it can be recreational and it can also be an athletic activity, it can also be dangerous. So you have to make sure that you're prepared, that you have the right equipment to keep you safe should something happen on the trail. And then on top of that, if you're going to be hiking in the winter, there's some extra things that you want to be sure you are aware of. So you want to make sure that you have some emergency equipment, emergency bivvies in case you were to turn an ankle out there and you had to stay. It's one thing to be really active when it's 20 degrees outside. I can remember one of my favorite hikes of all time was in 20 degrees Bluebird Day, and it was just so beautiful. But if I were to, you know, if you were to get stuck out in 20 degrees for any length of time with and not be moving, you could really be in serious trouble. So you want to have some emergency blanket bivy situation going on with you. You want to make sure that you have some type of emergency beacon or a way to signal for help. We rely a lot on our cell phones. And when you're regularly hiking, then, you know, during the warmer seasons, you don't have to worry about your phone not working unless you don't have cell service. But when you're out in the cold, our electronics don't like to be cold any more than a lot of us like to be cold.
Yep.
So they will very quickly drain their battery trying to keep themselves warm. And so even if you have cell service, you could find yourself with a non-functioning device. So you want to make sure that you have some kind of satellite device that you can signal for help if you need to. You want to, of course, make sure you've told someone where you're going and when you expect to be back so that if you don't show up, somebody can come looking for you. And you want to also consider maybe you want to have some hot drinks with you. So you want to take a thermos instead of just a water bottle. Maybe you want to put some hot tea in there or a hot coffee, something to keep you warm when you stop, because you'll start to cool off when you stop, maybe to take a break to have a snack.
All right, you brought up coffee, and I think that's a great seg into the other one of the blog topics I saw, how caffeine can improve your hiking.
Yep, absolutely. So caffeine has been shown repeatedly to enhance athletic activity. You want to be careful that you're not ingesting so much that you're having heart palpitations when you're just sitting at your desk like you do when you are trying to get a project done for your boss who wants it yesterday.
Yeah.
But you can use caffeine very strategically to help you when you're hiking so that you can keep your energy levels up, especially on the way down. If you are tired, if you have just gone through a very strenuous climb and you have a lot of climbing back down to do, sometimes having a bit of caffeine at the top or at your turnaround point is a real strategic way to use caffeine to help you get through your hike.
You had mentioned some of these things that can be terrifying in winter hiking, and there are some other things, dizzying hikes, how to manage height vertigo on the trail. Has that happened to you?
It hasn't happened to me, but I do know that a lot of people struggle with that, and so they have to be very careful about, you know, where this comes really into play is if you're doing any scrambling. Like you can, you know, definitely if you are close to a trail edge or looking over an edge, that can be a little unsettling for a lot of people. But if you're scrambling above the tree line and you don't have as many points of reference, you're kind of up, I don't want to say in the clouds, but you're up quite high and you are dealing with the wind and you can't really see the horizon because where you are is blocked, and you can just have some real unsettling issues with your balance. And for some people that really does trigger vertigo, and then they can be in a real problem there.
Alicia Philly, I know this is going to come as a surprise to you, but I'm not much of a hiker. And what is scrambling?
So scrambling is when the trail becomes so steep that you really can't stay very well on just two legs. So you sort of have to go down into this bear crawl position. And you're on hands and feet climbing over rocks. A lot of times there's not a dedicated trail. You're just kind of climbing over a rock field or kind of a boulder field to get where you want to go towards the summit.
Yeah, okay. All right. You know, I got to say that if I was ever, like, forced at gunpoint to go hiking, I think I would I'd make sure that I had a bottle of oxygen and B, a bottle of bourbon, and I think I'd be all set. No? All right, let's go to the
bottle of oxygen might be a little heavy and the bourbon might be a little heavy too. You do just fine. Leave those at home.
They wouldn't be heavy long. All right, this from Julie. Julie writes, trekking poles are essential as your third and fourth legs to minimize the risk of ankle sprains, besides helping protect knees. And when going uphill, arms produce an amazing amount of climbing power. Agree or disagree, Alicia?
Well, I'm a big fan of trekking poles, Julie. I recommend them for all of my clients. You know what? Your arms do not actually produce that much propulsion, but they do allow you to have much more stability. Mm. So Using trekking poles is great because it takes you from being a two-legged creature to a four-legged creature, and you are definitely much more stable. When you're going downhill and you're using poles, the poles do help distribute the ground reaction force, so they do take some of the stress off of your knees, hips, and ankles.
Yeah.
And they only can prevent ankle sprain or turning your ankle insofar as it helps you to be more stable in that four-legged position.
The other part of Julie's email, and let's see if you agree with this, head injuries. You could be cranking along and smack a low-hanging branch, and I know from experience it hurts. Make sure you keep looking ahead when hiking, especially on more remote mountain trails. Has that ever happened to you, Alicia?
That never has happened to me, but I definitely have been in situations where there were branches that were lower. What I always recommend is that you stop before you look around. So you don't want to be hiking and look around you and try to take in the view or take in too much of your surroundings. If you hear or see something, you want to make sure that you stop and take a look. But definitely always keep your, if you're moving, keep your eyes facing forward on the trail for sure, so that you see any obstacles that might be coming up ahead or any animals or any other hikers. Or if you're on a shared trail, there might be a horse coming at you or a mountain biker. So yes, you're always focused ahead unless, and if you want to look around, please stop.
We're joined today by Alicia Philly from thehealthyhiker.com. And let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. I'll go back to the email bag in a few. Woody is in Albany. Woody, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
You bet.
Okay. I am, like you, an absentee from the hiking crowd.
Yeah.
I used to do it a lot in Oregon. I climbed Mount St. Helens, Mount Hood, Mount Adams, and a few of the hills whose names people won't recognize. But then I'm 70 now. I haven't done any of that stuff in maybe 40 years because I looked around one day and none of my friends were around anymore. So I just quit doing that stuff. Now I've got a 38-year-old friend who wants me to go hiking with her this June on an Adirondack trail. I don't know which one. She's going to pick out a trail, and she really wants me to come up the hill with her. So what's your reaction to this? Am I just looking for a harder way to commit suicide?
Ouch.
Or are there things I can do to maybe impress myself, let alone her? Like, what are those poles you were just talking about?
Ah, Alicia.
Yeah, Woody, I love this, and I'm so excited for you. And it sounds like you have some great tales to tell about your time out west, but I know that you're going to have the opportunity to create some new fun experiences where you are right now. It is not too late for you, my friend. You can get yourself a set of trekking poles. That's what they're called. You can find them at your local outfitter, on REI, Amazon. I definitely would get a pair for yourself. They're adjustable, and you use them as you walk, as you hike. And where I would start for you, I don't know, you didn't mention what kind of activity you do now, but I would start just walking in your neighborhood, in your local park, any local area that has a place where you can walk. I would start walking and start increasing your distance slowly so that you can work up to doing a few miles. Ask your friend how far she wants to go. And start there. I would also encourage you to look in your local area for any local hiking groups, because I know in my area we have tons of hiking groups, and we have folks of all ages, and they have programming for all sorts of ability levels. So we have beginner and restorative hiking, as well as moderate hiking to more advanced skilled hiking. So if you could get yourself plugged into a group like that, just start at the beginner level. Start easy and start practicing and getting back into it. And as you build your fitness, I'm sure you'll be ready for spring.
Well, just listening to you, to the other callers and everybody, I decided one of the things I'm going to have to do right away is ask my doctor for a referral to a physical therapist. Because I have had a serious fall where I split my legs in two different directions.
Oh, boy.
That was 2 years ago. And sometimes if I move my left leg the wrong way, I can still feel that pain. So hopefully that's something they will finally look at instead of giving me a baby aspirin and say, if it still hurts, call me next decade.
Definitely ask for a referral to see a physical therapist, and just be real upfront with the PT and tell them what your goals are. Tell them what you want to be able to do, and say, and tell them, you know, that it's hurting you when you do this now, and by spring, this is what you want to be able to do, and what do you need to do to get there? And they'll definitely be able to guide you.
Hey, Woody, good luck,
okay,
man.
And if her activities kill me, the funeral will be at the Albany Rural Cemetery.
All right, Woody. Well, good luck, man. Okay, that's a good point.
Best of luck.
That's a good point, though, Alicia. You know, in your time as an advisor, and you have plenty of clients, who physical therapy clients and people that you advise on hiking, do you ever say, you know, hey, your legs went two different directions, you're sore all day long, you know, maybe take her to a game or something. You know, maybe hiking is not for you.
You know, there's a trail for everybody. Even I've given talk to my cousin runs an amputee support group locally, and I've given a talk with her group about hiking, and there's a perfect trail in our area. It's a paved trail through the woods where her support group has gone, and they've been able to walk because it's paved. It's fairly level. You can decide your distance. Those who aren't able to walk can even go out with their wheeled devices and participate in the hike. So there's a trail for everybody. That's my slogan.
All right, fair enough. Alicia Philly joins us today, and Alicia is the founder of The Healthy Hiker. The number is 800-348-2551. Email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Mona writes in, and I got to say, this is a question I would ask. What's the difference between walking through the woods and hiking through the woods?
I love that question, and I'm glad you asked, Mona. And really, it's a little bit more than semantics. It's actually intention, right? So you can go for an intentional walk, or you can go for an intentional hike. And I think that a hike really has the intention of being in nature. So just like I talked about that paved trail, it's a paved trail through the woods, but it's very, very wooded area. And so your intention when you go on that trail isn't transportation. You're not walking down the block to pick up your dry cleaning. You're not going to the store. You're not doing anything but just being there to spend time in nature. And so I think that if you take a walk in the woods, you are hiking.
All right, fair enough. I'll buy that. This one is from Tom. I have two friends who will hike the Appalachian Trail in a few months. They're experienced hikers. They're physically fit. Have you or your clients ever done the Appalachian Trail? And that's from Tom in Gardner, Mass.
Yeah. Hey, Tom. How exciting for your friends. It's going to be a great season, and I hope we have an early spring for their sake. I myself have hiked sections of the AT, but I have not done the entire through hike. I do have clients who have done also sections of the AT, have done through hike attempts. You know, very few people actually make the entire through hike in one go. So it's a tough trail. It requires a lot from you physically, mentally. And I just wish your friends the best of luck. It's going to be a fabulous experience for them.
Alicia, what's the most dangerous situation you found yourself in on a hike? Wild animals or rocks falling? Or what was the time where you said, you know what, maybe I shouldn't be doing this?
You know, probably it is more with being concerned for others than being concerned for myself, because I really don't put myself in situations where I feel I'm in real danger. But I hike with my kids, and my youngest is 13. And there have been times when I've been concerned for him because I just am a mom.
Yeah.
I'm like, please don't get so close to the edge.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, let's grab a couple of more
calls. Otherwise, I try to be pretty smart.
Let's go get a couple of more calls in. We only have a few minutes left with Alicia Philly this time around, and we'll probably ask you back because we've had a lot of fun. JT in Albany. JT, you're on.
Hey, how are you? I just wanted to ask, I hear that you're down there in Texas, and my fiance and I have been started high pointing, and we didn't do Texas yet, and I was wondering if you ever high pointed Texas down there, and if so, how did you find it, and in what conditions did you hike?
So I assume by high pointing, you're talking about hitting the highest peak in the state. Is that right, JT?
Yeah, we've done about 35 so far.
Cool.
But we plan on doing what we can. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love peak bagging. That's not always my motivation because I'll just hike any trail and have a good time. But the highest point in Texas is going to be over in the Guadalupe Mountains, and that's a great mountain. It's a great mountain to do in the winter time because our winters are fairly mild, even though it is at some pretty good elevation, and it can be quite cold. It's still very manageable, so we have a much shorter winter season. So if you're thinking about coming to Texas, do it in the winter because the summer is way too hot.
JT, thanks a lot. We'll go over to Bill and Phoenicia. Bill, you're on with Alicia Philly.
Hey, thanks, Ray. It's Phil with a F, not a Bill.
Oh,
but
I'm
I
sorry.
It.
Phil, you're on.
That's all right. Hey, a question about GPS systems. Are there any other alternatives other than the satellite systems out there? And not to sound too cheap, but, you know, they cost about $300 a piece, and then you need a subscription on top of that. I'm just wondering, are there any other alternatives? And not that I want to throw my life away while I'm hiking, but I do a lot of solo hiking, and this is great because I can walk out my front door and do that. But I'm just wondering on your thoughts on that.
Sure. Phil, the most basic thing you can have for the signal for a rescue is a whistle. So you want to make sure that you have a whistle, and you want to make sure that you have a compass so that you can get yourself out. Or you could even direct somebody as to where you are, what you see based on your compass. But as far as the GPS systems, I know some of them are subscription-based. I think that you can turn that subscription on and off based on your needs. So it doesn't have to be being used when you're not using it. So let's say you're going to go out on an adventure, or you're going to be in a back country area where you think you might need it. You can certainly activate that subscription for the month that you're going to be doing hiking in that area, and then deactivate it when you're back home or when you're not hiking during the winter months or what have you. So that might be a good alternative for you. I think that the Garmin Mini, I think you can play with that subscription a little bit. So you might want to look into that and see if you can ask some questions there.
Bill, thanks a lot. We'll have to leave it there. You know what, Alicia? We are done. That was fast.
Oh, it was fast. It's been fun.
You know, there's so much more to talk about, including hiker's toe, why day hikers might not survive in the wild, and then hiker's rash. All of these things will have to be discussed the next time you're on. You know, hiker's rash, I know that my wife got bather's eruption when we went to Palm Beach, but that's another story, and we'll have to bring that one in on the next show. Hey, great job today. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's been fun. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me, Ray.
Super. And how do people find your website again?
They can find me at thehealthyhiker.com.
Thehealthyhiker.com. Hey, Alicia, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, Ray. Take care.
Support comes from Red Mannequin at 1 Main Street in Chatham, New York, a curated collection of clothing, accessories, and gifts designed by selected artisans. Chris DeLarson, James Purse, Robin Kappen, Crush Cashmere, to name a few. RedMannequin.com. East Branch Studio, now featuring East Branch Homes, a new division of hybrid prefab homes that are net zero ready and low in embodied carbon. Traditional to modern styles available. EastBranchHomes.com. And Saratoga Jewish Community Arts presenting a Zoom discussion of Jojo Rabbit, World War II satire, January 30th, 7 p.m., 518-584-8730, option number 2 for registration. Well, thanks again to Alicia Philly for joining us today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the great calls. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones screened by Nora Kanarkiewicz. And I got it right this time. I didn't get it right last time. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, we'll welcome back Darren Tracy to take your home improvement questions. That's tomorrow at 2. See you then.